The other day, we were talking about the release of the film lineup for the Millennium Park Summer Film Series, where they show amazing films up on a big screen, a big like 40-foot LED screen at the Pritzker Pavilion. Some amazing films that have been lined up. I wanted to talk about that a little bit this morning. So I bring in my friend Rich Moskal, who is with the Chicago Film Office, joining us on the line. Good morning, Rich. How are you doing?
Hey, I'm great, Dean. Good morning to you, too.
Nice to have you on with us. How many years now have we been showing films in Grant Park?
So this will be our fifth summer. And, you know, it's a little bit different. There was originally in Grant Park, specifically in Butler Field, there was the outdoor film festival that the Department of the Mayor's Office of Special Events put on some years ago. In Millennium Park, though, with this new addition of the state-of-the-art 40-foot LED screen, we've been showing films in Millennium Park now for 5 years.
Yeah.
But the original outdoor film festival dates back, oh boy, probably about 15 years now.
Yeah, I was going to say, when you said 5 years, I was going to say I thought I remembered it from back in the day, a long time ago.
No, the city has been showing films outdoors for a number of years, and of course, it's not to be confused with the neighborhoods program of movies in the park that the Chicago Park District puts on, which is a great program as well. But ours is like the big screen downtown, and for the past 5 years in Millennium Park.
People, I was going to bring up that you're showing films at park districts also around Chicago. This has become so popular. I mean, Ravinia, does a movie night, lots of outdoor places. People like watching movies outside, don't they?
They really do. I mean, when we first started the Outdoor Film Festival, I think Chicago was one of several cities who was doing it. But now, even within cities, there's so many different programs in interesting venues, whether they be programs like Elevated Films, which shows movies on rooftops, or the Park District programs that is outdoor in neighborhood parks. I think the experience of being outdoors and seeing something that perhaps you've seen many, many times before, it could be a favorite, it could be something that you've heard about for many years but never had a chance to see. I think that experience of being outdoors, and whether it's a picnic or sharing time with friends, is really a different experience than perhaps how you've seen it in a big movie theater or on television. And that's, I think, part of the allure. And obviously, when you're doing that outdoors in Millennium Park, with the city skyline as this fantastic backdrop, and with a great sound system and a beautiful projection, that just adds to it. But I really do think the social element, the sort of outdoors element of seeing something outdoors, is what appeals to people the most.
I love that you're kicking it all off with maybe one of the most quintessentially Chicago films of all time.
Yeah, The Blues Brothers. Well, I tell you, it was inspired by an audience choice selection that we put out a poll last year and allowed people to vote for their favorite Chicago-made film of all time. And there was the obvious, the sort of usual suspects, if you will, of films that people voted for, whether it was Ferris Bueller's Day Off or Adventures in Babysitting. But two films really ran away, and it was a neck-and-neck race all the way through the season while we were taking the votes. Ultimately, The Dark Knight was our choice for last year, but The Blues Brothers was such a close second that we felt that we had to show it and decided to kick the season off with it. And you're right, it couldn't be a more quintessential Chicago film, both in terms of its place in history as putting Chicago on the map, as it were, of Hollywood, because prior to The Blues Brothers, there was really just a handful of movies that were being made here. But it also captures Chicago's music and Chicago's comedy and Chicago's culture. And what a great way to celebrate Chicago through the blues, which, of course, is a great music tradition here in Chicago. But the movie itself is just iconic.
I love that you can see this movie and then walk about two blocks in any direction from Pritzker Pavilion and be on one of the locations where the film was shot.
Specifically, right down the street at Bailey Plaza, where the chase sequence culminated. I don't think there's ever been a film that people associate more with the city of Chicago. And like I said, the fans loved it. Music, people loved it, filmgoers loved it, but who, the people who really loved that film or paid attention to it were other filmmakers who saw it and said, man, they'll let you do just about anything in Chicago. And it was after that that more and more films really started coming to Chicago in a big way.
I remember them making that movie so clearly. You know, parts of the city being shut down when they were shooting different scenes. I remember because that was, it must have been like 1979, I think, when they were filming it. Cause the movie came out in 1980. But the promotion of that film, it must have been, I don't think it was Taste of Chicago. It might have been Chicago Fest back then, of Mayor Jane Byrne and her daughter Kathy with Belushi and Aykroyd, I think, wearing the Blues Brothers hat. And glasses.
In the mayor's office, sitting around with the fedora and the Ray-Bans. Really couldn't send a more direct message that we are all in for this movie.
It was Mayor Byrne that got that started. I mean, you know, say what you want about Mayor Byrne, but she was the one. The old Mayor Daley did not want the city disrupted for filmmaking. And it was Mayor Byrne that said, you know, bring the cameras in. There's a lot of money to be made.
For sure. And I think, you know, it was a different time during the first Daley, Richard J. Daley's administration. I don't think there was that appreciation for what film could do in terms of promoting the city as a destination, as promoting the city's culture, and just in terms of the economic development of it. I think it was about that time that cities across the country started to recognize that, hey, this is a great opportunity, and the Blues Brothers couldn't have been more effective in that because they showed Chicago in such iconic fashion. Not every film has the opportunity to do that, but you're right, Jane Byrne saw that and ran with it.
So the Blues Brothers will be June 13th. That's when it's going to kick off. Caddyshack follows the week after June 20th, which begged a couple of questions when this was first announced this week. Both films are rated R. Both have nudity, sexual content, you know, drug references, naughty language. How do you deal with that in a public place?
Well, we deal with it by letting people know. And certainly we don't want anybody to be surprised by the content of the films. While they're rated R and there's some brief but noticeable nudity and some language, we do want people to recognize that before they come on down, and certainly in talking about it in advance and putting it out as part of our notices and having it up on our website, we certainly hope and expect that people know what they're getting into before they themselves see something that perhaps they're not comfortable with or that their children might not be comfortable with it.
Mommy, look!
But we also, you know, we have great respect for our audiences, and we also know that audiences have plenty of choices, and they don't necessarily, it's not as if people are just stumbling into most people who are coming down for this are coming with great intention, and they kind of know the films that they're coming to see. So, and we actually do put signage around the Pritzker Pavilion that alerts people to, hey, just so you know, the movie tonight does have some content.
And, yeah, is R-rated.
We're not trying to be overprotective of our audiences, but we want them to be informed, and certainly these movies are movies that people hopefully have either seen before or at least know something about.
Of new movies that are going to be shown, La La Land is July the 18th. The Amazing Hidden Figures is going to be August 15th. There is a Full Moon double feature on August the 8th with Ghost, the Patrick Swayze Demi Moore film, with Jack Nicholson's The Shining.
That's a favorite pairing that we started last year with the celebrating the new moon with a double feature, which doesn't necessarily make sense, but it seems like a fun hook. And we always try to make it sort of an ironic pairing of something sort of sweet and romantic at the start and something a little less sweet and romantic at the finish.
The first Spanish language film in the series will be shown, El Norte, on July the 11th. The first daytime screening will be the 80th anniversary of Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs, the original Disney animated film, Thursday the 24th at 11 a.m. Explain how this works when you're showing a film you know, and it could be a bright, you know, sunny day in August on at 11 a.m.
Sure. Well, in fact, all of our films start at 6:30 in the evening. Normally, the evening films start on Tuesdays, and it's still bright out. The great thing about the screen is that it is bright, and it is intended to be seen in daylight. So it's not intended, but it's certainly visible, quite visible in daylight.
Yeah.
So no matter what the weather conditions, you'll always be able to see the screen.
It's like the big screens you would see at the ballpark, right? During the day.
Yeah.
Same thing.
Yeah. It's an LED system, so it's not it's brighter than you would get with normal projection, like throw projection, which we used to show for the outdoor film festival in Butler Field. This is truly a significant technological advancement in that. So we're showing films that are very bright on that screen that you'll see whether the sun's out or not. So
yeah.
it opened up some possibilities. It also made it possible, I think, for people to be able to see the films. Well, normally we'd have to wait till 8:30, 9 o'clock at night before we show the film, which is always fun, too, just sitting in the dark. And that's part of our full moon double feature option, is that you get to see The Shining under the stars. But the daytime option opened it up for showing films in the daytime when families and parents are maybe in a position to bring their kids down, where they may not want to bring them out and keep them out as late as that. So it opened up the calendar a little bit for us, and it certainly changed our programming a little bit. And being able to celebrate the 80th anniversary of Disney's first full-length feature, Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs, I have to tell you personally, was a favorite of ours when our kids were growing up, and to see young kids take in what is truly a classic and appreciate
yep.
what is old-school animation and old-school storytelling and have it just really connect with them.
Still works 80 years later, and it definitely still works. There are plenty of other great films as well. You can get more by going to, what is the website if people want to look at the full list and get more information?
If you were to go to the Department of Cultural Affairs website and check it out there, you'll get all the information that you need right there.
Okay, and we've got it posted on our sites as well at WGNTV.com, WGNRadio.com. You can look at the whole thing. Looks like it's going to be real fun, and it all begins on June the 13th at Pritzker Pavilion downtown. Rich, always great to talk to you. I appreciate you joining us.
Absolutely, Dean. Great talking to you.